hearings. Clerk Rodella, can you please call the first public hearing?
I sure can. Tonight's first public hearing is on proposed local law number 5 of 2024, a local law amending section A272B of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster to ensure proper staffing levels at the Board of Elections.
Thank you. And do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do have one person signed up, and that is Dare Thompson.
Well, I'm president of the League of Women Voters here in the Mid-Hudson region, so this is no surprise that I've come to speak on this. I'm Dare Thompson. This is a fairly simple thing, I think. It's just to increase staffing. And I did look today, I looked into why this did not go through at the state level, because it makes so much sense. And I spoke to somebody at the Board of Elections at the state level and also an assembly person where it did not go through. It did go through the Senate. And the consensus seems to be it would be hard on really small counties to do this, but there's no reason for us not to do it. And I also just want to say we just think this is the best Board of Elections in the whole state. They really are so cooperative, do so much, always there when we need them. They look for ways to make sure people get out and vote. So please support them in every way you can. You're very lucky to have them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else signed up? Is there anybody in attendance tonight who would like to speak? Yes, please. If you could just state your name for the record, we'd appreciate that. Here, at the microphone.
We have two other people who's going to be speaking about.
Thank you.
Resolution 217. Hi. Good evening, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Lee, and I am the chair of the Election Reform Committee of Ulster Activists. I'm also a resident of the village of New Paltz. I want to thank you for letting me speak about amending the Section A272-2B of the Ulster County Administrative Code. That is Resolution 217, which will ensure that there be proper staffing at the Ulster County Board of Election. And included is the funding for the staff positions. Passing this amendment will continue the better election administration by the Ulster County Board of Election to ensure that we have that the election administration is secure, consistent, and updated to the new election laws passed by the Ulster County, by the New York State Legislature. Therefore, I'm asking this legislative body to pass Resolution 217. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this? Yes, please. And please state your name for the record. Thank you.
Carol Nolan. I'm also a member of Ulster Activists and also a member of the Election Reform Committee of that organization. And I want to second what Dare Thompson said about our Board of Elections in Ulster County being just a model for the whole state. I particularly admire how John Quigley and Ashley Torres work together to make sure that our elections are smooth and accessible and secure, and this law will help continue to do that, so I ask you to support it.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to speak on this? Seeing none, I call for a motion to adjourn this public hearing. Legislator Litz?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to close the public hearing.
And is there a second? Second by Legislator Nolan. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, can you call the second public hearing?
Tonight's second public hearing is on Community Development Block Grant Standalone Business Assistance and Micro Enterprise Grant Program Application.
And do we have anybody signed up to speak?
We do not.
Is there anybody present tonight who would like to speak on this matter? Anybody who would like to speak on this matter? Seeing none, I call for a motion. Legislator
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second. Legislator Corcoran. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, can you please call the third public hearing to order?
Tonight's third public hearing is on the addition of lands to the agricultural districts as required under Article 25AA of New York State Agricultural and Markets Law.
And do we have anybody signed up to speak?
We do have one speaker signed up, and that's Michael Zarino.
Hi, thank you. I'm a landowner and new farmer at 49 Doug Road in New Paltz, and I'm here to request that my parcel be considered for inclusion in the agricultural district. In my view, which I'm sharing here, is that I believe this land meets the standard as predominantly viable agricultural land, and I believe it's in the public's best interest for use of this land for that purpose. I shared some photos with the legislature of development at the site thus far. The site is in the flood fringe district in New Paltz, so really agriculture is one of the better uses for this land as opposed to more intense development. And what my proposed operation entails is woodland grown mushrooms, so log grown mushrooms, shiitakes, lion's mane, and oyster mushrooms. I've got about 75 logs under cultivation already. And then also on the site, I've got a lot of wet conditions being in that flood fringe district. So we've got wet meadow, which is a pretty unique growing habitat for a horticultural specialty, basketry willow. So after consulting with a bunch of local farmers, consultants, permaculture specialists, kind of determined that this would be a really suitable crop for this space. It's different. It's unique. It's something that nobody's really growing in the neighborhood. It's something that local artisans and craftspeople, I think, need. There's a market for it. I've talked to a lot of basket weavers since getting interested in this, and I think my land is particularly well-suited for this. So kind of unusual agricultural sort of specialties, not the standard corn, beans, et cetera, kind of conventional agriculture, but that's the use that I'm proposing here, and I hope that we could include my land in the district.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to speak on this subject? Anybody else? Seeing none, Legislator
Lewis. Mr. Chairman, I will make the motion to close the public hearing.
And a second? Yes, Legislator Hanson. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, can you please call the fourth public hearing?
Tonight's fourth public hearing is on naming a county-owned asset, a portion of County Road 1, Ulster County Vietnam War Veterans Memorial Highway.
Thank you. And do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do. We have three speakers signed up, and the first one is Chuck Wright.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Chuck Wright, Vietnam veteran. I just want to say that renaming the highway Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway would go a long way in helping us to heal, to relax us, and to show that we are not forgotten, and that many of the Vietnam veterans would be part of the healing process just a little bit, but it would help out a lot. It really would. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and thank you for your service.
The next speaker is George Lamora.
Thank you.
And lastly, we have Joseph Bush.
How you doing? My name is Joseph Bush. I'm the adjutant for Disabled American Veterans Chapter 156 of Ulster County. We're pushing to try and get the renaming of of that road to pay tribute to our combat veterans who came home from Vietnam. When they came home, they were not given a proper welcome. They were spit at, cursed at, chastised, and just pushed to the side. This is the opportunity to say thank you and welcome home. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? Anyone else who would like to speak on this subject? Yes, sir. Good evening, sir. If you could state your name for the record, please. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Hank Slattery. I am with the VFW, American Legion, DAV. I served in Nam in 67-68 with the 4th Battalion, 9th Infantry. And I just want to thank everybody who's involved for helping us get this done.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your service. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this? Anybody else? Seeing none, Legislator Litz.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second. Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, can you please call the fifth public hearing?
Tonight's fifth public hearing is on naming a county-owned asset, a portion of County Road 5, the Ulster County Gold Star Family Memorial Highway.
Thank you. And is there anybody signed up to speak?
There are five speakers signed up for this hearing. And the first one is Chuck Wright.
Again, my name is Chuck Wright. I am not a Gold Star family member, but I am part of a Gold Star family near and dear to my heart. We are part of them. On my T-shirt, Sergeant Kenny Von Ron, he and his sisters were in my little Sunday school class as kids, and I was with him just before he got killed. I will step down and let the Gold Star family, the ones that are closer and have more meaning in their heart and are able to speak better than I am, and let them go ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
The next speaker is Carrie Farley.
Deborah Von Ron is the next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Von Ron. I am a Gold Star mother. My son was Sergeant Kenneth Von Ron, who was killed in Iraq on January 6th of 2005. This memorial highway will mean a lot to the Gold Star families. It will honor and acknowledge every soldier that is out there on that memorial that we have in this development, to let them know they are not forgotten, our families are not forgotten. We did the ultimate sacrifice. And I think this road would really help the Gold Star families to go forward. You know, some of us still have problems. We have good days and we have bad days. And I would really like to thank Mark Pozzopoli for bringing this to fruition and getting it this far, Mark. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. So that's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Farley. I'm an American Gold Star mother, very proud mother of Staff Sergeant Derek John Farley, killed in action in Afghanistan at the age of 24. His first Purple Heart in Iraq, earned a second in Afghanistan. By doing this, it allows the Gold Stars to be inclusive in your communities. We're remembered. It's very important education for our young to know these things. Proud Americans give their lives so that we have the freedoms that we have and are continued. So I would really appreciate the support in your community. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
The next speaker is Ron Ortz.
Good evening. My name is Ron Ortz, and I'm the Vice President of Rolling Thunder Chapter 3 in New York. We're 100% volunteer, a not-for-profit nationwide veterans advocacy organization doing the right thing for those who have done the right thing for their fellow Americans. I appreciate the opportunity tonight to speak to voice our organization's support for the proposed Gold Star Families Memorial Highway in our county. Gold Star families have endured the tragedy of losing a beloved family member while serving our great nation in times of war. They suffer silently when others rejoice in welcoming home their loved one. Gold Star families have given more than anyone should and should be honored, respected, and memorialized. Dedicating a highway to those who have suffered and lost so much is such a small token of appreciation and will be a constant reminder that a price for freedom has been shouldered by those brave, patriotic Americans willing to offer their lives and paying the ultimate sacrifice for our way of life. In closing, recognition of the families of those who have allowed us to sleep in peace at the cost of their lives deserve this at the very least. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The last speaker signed up is Charles Alangi.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Charles Alangi. I'm from Rolling Thunder, Chapter 3, New York. First thing I want to do is recognize all these Gold Star mothers here and fathers that have given the ultimate sacrifice, a son, a daughter. So I just wanted to recognize them and the fellows over here, too. I started a street memorial program about 2005, and I did most streets for all these Gold Star mothers here. Their sons all got a name on the street. In Kingston here, we did Douglas Cordeau from Kingston to Saugerties, and Mrs. Farrell's got her son's name on 4455 over the mountain. So as long as these signs are up, these soldiers will never be forgotten. There's five of my soldiers on the monument in front of this building. Williams, Chan, and Cordeau. And there's another one, too. There's five. Oremus. And to give these ladies a street of their own, Orange County has one, and I think Ulster County needs one. So I know when I did a street for William J. Parrington, this legislator, Senator Larkins sent a paper up, and every member in this legislature signed yes. So I'm asking you guys again, say yes. Say yes to these Gold Star mothers. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this? Anyone else who would like to speak on this? Seeing none, I ask for a motion. Legislator Litz?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second? Yes, Legislator Donaldson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, can you please call the sixth public hearing?
Our final public hearing this evening is on Ulster County's application for U.S. Department of Housing Community Development Block grant funds administered by the New York State Office of Community Renewal, and there are no speakers signed up.
Is there anybody here who would like to speak on this? Anybody here who would like to speak on this evening? Seeing none. Legislator Litz.
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second. Legislator Clinton. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on, I'd like to now announce our birthdays for the month. Legislator Aaron Levine, June 1st. Legislator John Gavaris, June 9th. Vice Chair Megan Sperry, June 20th. Legislative Clerk Victoria Fabella, June 22nd. And Confidential Secretary Amanda Norton, June 29th. Happy birthday, everybody. I now ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested. They can just contact the office of the clerk. I now grant privilege of the floor to Rob Conlon, co-chair, and Corey Geller, outreach and volunteer coordinator of GLSEN Mid-Hudson, to share about their organization and the work they do in schools to support LGBTQ plus youth, educators, parents, and allies. Thank you for being here tonight.
Good evening. My name is Rob Conlon. My pronouns are he, him.
Hi, I'm Corey Geller, he, they pronouns.
Thank you, Chairperson Criswell, and the whole legislature for inviting us to speak to you tonight during Gay Pride Month, or LGBT plus Pride Month, right? I suspect many of you in the room have never heard of GLSEN before tonight, except for a few. Our friend Deborah, right? How many of you have ever heard of a GSA, right? Which now we call Gender Sexuality Alliances, originally called Gay Straight Alliances. GLSEN was founded in 1990 after the first Gay Straight Alliance was formed in 1988, right? I was in high school in 1988 and had no idea there was could be such a thing as a Gay Straight Alliance, let alone that there could be gay people around me. Right? So in 1990, GLSEN became a national organization. Our chapter, GLSEN Mid-Hudson, was accredited for the first time in 1997. So for the last 27 years, we have been a 100% volunteer organization serving school districts in Ulster, Dutchess, Orange, and Sullivan counties. We are thrilled to have worked with 100% of the school districts in Ulster County. We have worked with 85% of the school districts across all four counties that we work with, right? And we are usually not known very well because creating school climate change is not a big, bold LGBTQ plus Pride Month display, right? It is often very much a very quiet, long, slow, and difficult process. Right? So a lot of the work we do with school districts is based on the 30-plus years of research that we have around what works in school districts. Right? And behind us on the screen are the four things that we know work in schools. Right? There are supportive educators, inclusive policies, inclusive curriculum, and GSA student clubs. So our chapter works throughout the counties to support educators in making their school environment safe. GLSEN's research has demonstrated time and time again that one supportive educator can save a student's life, but it takes six or more in a building to change that school's climate. We do professional development throughout the four counties in large and small capacities. Corey does most of our training for us right now. In the 27 years that we have been in existence, we have actually trained hundreds of thousands of educators. When prior to the pandemic, we were educating 15,000 educators in the Hudson Valley every single year. We are proud of that work, and we continue to work with our school districts to develop that cadre of supportive educators that will continue to create school climates that are safe and respectful. The second thing we work around is inclusive policies. LGBTQ plus students in Ulster County and in New York State are covered by three major laws that protect them from bullying and harassment. The Dignity for All Students Act that applies to all K-12 schools in New York State, the New York State Human Rights Laws, and the federal Title IX laws. What we know from our research is less than 25% of our students know that they are protected from bullying and harassment in our schools. Our schools are still struggling with implementing laws that were passed decades ago. As all of you probably know in this room, the letter of the law and the life of the law are very, very different things. We work with our school districts over and over again to implement those safety protections and create atmospheres that allow students to come forward and say, I need help, I'm being bullied, I'm being harassed, and we support our school districts around making the changes that change the school climate that bullying and harassment comes to an end. We encourage inclusive curriculum. We know that curriculum in our schools that represent all of our students make our students feel safe and respected. Our Dignity for All Students Act actually requires school districts to teach around LGBTQ plus topics starting in kindergarten. Many of our school districts still are struggling with this concept, even though we live in a very diverse, culturally rich, LGBTQ plus history rich part of the United States. We ask students all the time, why is Pride Month in June? Very, very few of them actually know that Pride Month is in June because of the Stonewall riots, less than 100 miles from here. Right? We have much of the history that we need to teach our students right here in Ulster County, and our school districts are still struggling with this. We work with our school districts to buy inclusive school books. We work with them around including this in their curriculum. We work with them around getting their students to teach other students about history and LGBTQ plus topics. And finally, we work with our GSA clubs, our Gender Sexuality Alliance clubs. They are a huge protective factor for students. The mere presence of a GSA in a school means that every LGBTQ student feels a part and belong, even if they don't participate in that club. And it has been proven time and time again, a GSA actually reduces bullying and harassment in our schools. Right? So we support our clubs through student leadership, through giving them school grants to do projects, to mentoring their advisors, to getting them to come out and do pride marches in the streets and be proud of who they are. Right? We are very excited that the concept of the GSA is no longer a high school concept. Most of our school districts have at middle school GSAs at this point, and a number of them have already started elementary school level GSAs, right? We know that these sorts of student leadership roles can really change school climate for the long term. And so I want to end by saying to all of you that it may seem strange that we come here to the legislature to say, oh, K-12 schools. But Glisten-Mid-Hudson's philosophy has always been that safe and respectful schools are the total community's responsibility. From the pizza parlor across the street to the little shop in my town selling Pride cupcakes to, you'll hear from Big Gay Hudson Valley next, right, to all of the organizations in our community that create an atmosphere of respect and responsibility and safety, I believe that our legislature has that role as well. I would encourage you to include your school districts and your parents and your students in these conversations about larger community safety, right? Because they have answers to a lot of the questions that we have, particularly the youth, right? They understand what they need to feel safe and respected in our environments, right? I would also like to leave with you. We try to encourage our school districts to create a space for our students to be prepared for what the world is outside of the classroom. It does not take very much to look around Ulster County to realize that Ulster County in particular celebrates and supports the LGBTQ plus community in ways that I never thought possible. We must continue to do that in our schools, in the classrooms, in the hallways, throughout our school districts in order to prepare them for the world that will eventually celebrate them as we want them to be celebrated in their schools. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hang on one second. We'll do a picture. Okay, I now grant privilege of the floor to Stephen Hengst and Patrick Decker, co-founders of Big Gay Hudson Valley. Big Gay Hudson Valley creates experiences and promotes resources that empower people to make new connections, explore the Hudson Valley, and live as their authentic LGBTQ plus selves.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you, everyone, for inviting Big Gay Hudson Valley to come in and speak with the legislature this evening. My husband, Patrick Decker, over there, he and I founded Big Gay Hudson Valley in 2008 because we lived here. We wanted to be in a community that was inclusive and welcoming and celebrated all of our diversity. And we started Big Gay to help connect everyone here within the Hudson Valley community. As Peter said, he read off our mission statement there. But, you know, we've been building queer community since 2008. We know that a community's success is the sum of all of its parts. We create experiences to help connect one another, our community, to help strengthen the bonds. We encourage people to come out, explore the Hudson Valley, and live their lives as their authentic LGBTQ selves. We've got some stats here about all of our numbers and visitors, et cetera. But, you know, we, in addition to producing events and connecting community, we also do a lot of marketing. We have a number of different programs that we manage. We have a very active social media presence as well as email databases. And, you know, we've got over 17,000 followers on our social media platforms. And we've connected with over 500,000 consumers through our social platforms over the last year. So we put a lot of messages and images out into the community that hopefully reinforce Ulster County is a great destination, the Hudson Valley is a great destination for queer people. Earlier, if you're not familiar with some of the programs that we've produced over the years, specifically this year, in January, we produced New York State's first ever Pride Ski Weekend in partnership with the Capital District LGBTQ Community Center and the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Community Center. This was really a wonderful collaborative effort with our friends at I Love New York. We all came together to create the first such event in Ulster County at Bel Air Mountain. Plans are underway to make this happen again next year, so keep an eye out for it in 2025. Earlier this year, we presented a new event called Pride in the Sky. This was in partnership with I Love New York, Dutchess County Tourism, Ulster County Tourism, and a number of our community partners, where we created the kickoff event for Pride season on the walkway over the Hudson. We had over 3,000 attendees. Many community groups and sponsors joined us that night. GLSEN was there as well with a tent connecting with the community as well as the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Community Center and a number of other partners talking about their programs, what they offer. You know, the goal with events like this is that we encourage the general community to come out to a free event that's open and accessible to everyone, where they can meet one another, they can connect with each other, they can learn about the resources within our community that can help to support not only the LGBTQ community, but everyone here in Ulster County. We do a lot of work with local organizations here in Ulster County. The Old Dutch Church in Kingston, we regularly produce events with Pastor Rob there. This was an image from this March where we had 500 people for Claiborne Elder. Claiborne Elder is one of the stars of Company on Broadway the last few years and is in the current season of, actually is in The Gilded Age on HBO. We produced an event that not only created a great opportunity for locals, but also for tourists to come out and bring new people to Ulster County to discover the resources that we have here and show off a beautiful facility that's available to our community here. We do a lot of work with the Rosedale Theater. In March, we also presented a queer comedy night, which had a very diverse cast of stand-ups. This was a sold-out show, the first time we've ever done it at Rosendale, but we produce events regularly at the Rosendale Theater. As you know, Rosendale is a little tiny spot, and the restaurants and bars and the theater greatly appreciate the sell-out audiences that we bring again and again to Rosendale to patronize the businesses there. Oh, there we go. We also recently introduced our first ever gay bar, as we call it. It is a chocolate bar, and we did this in partnership with Fruition Chocolate in Shokan. Brian and Dahlia have been friends for a number of years, and we've been talking about doing this for a long time, and we finally had the time and resources to make it happen. We've sold over 2,500 of these bars already in 6 weeks. A portion of the proceeds go to local LGBTQ organizations here in the Hudson Valley. We've made 3,000 of them, so we're almost sold out. But we're already talking about the design for next year. We did a great launch party at Fruition with this product. Brought a lot of people in and been getting a great amount of press for it. So again, this is a product that we're able to put out into the world, bring lots of eyes to Ulster County, and talk about the wonderful inclusive community that we have here and the great business partners that we have. And then we also have recently introduced, for our third year in a row, our private label hard cider that we do with Bad Seed out of Highland. The Wilklow family has been an amazing supporter of Big Gay Hudson Valley for 5 years now. We regularly produce events at the farm stand, as well as Bad Seed hard cider itself. You can find this in retail stores locally and also at the Bad Seed tap room, where we produce events all throughout the summer. We do a series that's called the Orchard Disco that regularly brings out between 300 and 1,000 people for events at Bad Seed. And when Bad Seed recently purchased the property that it has leased for its building, they came to us and they said, can we book a Big Gay Hudson Valley event every month? Because we need to know that we're going to be able to pay our mortgage, and this helps us to do that. And so we are happy to bring new eyes to businesses and guests, visitors, customers into establishments. We recently co-edited the June issue of Chronogram. Chronogram, as many of you know, is based right here in Kingston. Brian reached out to us and said, hey, we want to do a Pride issue. We're not quite sure what to write about. Can you help? So we spent the months of March and April creating this issue. We did a 10-page insert. You can still catch them on newsstands now if you see them out there and about and around. So pick one up. And then we also produce a regular series of our pros after work mixers. We've done three in Kingston this year, one at Unicorn Bar on May 30th, which just opened, as many of you are aware, in Midtown. We did one at Camp Kingston in February, and then one at Lone Wolf in April. We typically do these after work hours. They're designed to create business connections, encourage folks to come out, exchange information, again, connect with Big Gay Hudson Valley and connect businesses with one another. Taking a quick shift, many of you have probably noticed there have been a tremendous amount of Pride events this year. And we are really excited to serve as a repository for all of these events and information on our community calendar. We send out regular email blasts that link to our Pride Along the Hudson guide. This is something that we make available every year. This year we had over 100 different Pride events. And as many of you know, if you think back, the first Pride we had here was Hudson Valley Pride in New Paltz that was produced by the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Community Center. This year we had Saugerties Pride, Woodstock Pride, Kingston Pride last weekend. Saugerties Pride's happening this coming weekend, in addition to New Paltz Pride. So we are really excited that so many groups and organizations have been establishing new Pride events that reflect the values and the businesses in their specific communities and really help to leverage their local resources. We recently introduced our queer travel maps to Ulster County and to Dutchess County. You all have a sample map there at your seats. We were really excited to get support from over 40 businesses that made this possible, as well as from Ulster County Tourism and I Love New York to help fund the printing and distribution of these materials. And in closing, Big Gay Hudson Valley, we provide a great deal of amount of resources and information. Again, we have our Pride Along the Hudson guide. We publish an online business directory. We provide a community calendar with self-upload for anyone that's producing an event that's of interest to the community. And we have a directory of LGBTQ organizations. There's a short list in the map, but the full list is available online. So if you haven't checked us out, give us a follow at Big Gay Hudson Valley on Instagram. And you can always jump over to biggayhudsonvalley.com. Every Wednesday, we send out a newsletter that reflects all the events coming for the following week, for the upcoming week. So you can subscribe to that, and you'll always have an idea of what's going on in our Big Gay Hudson Valley. So thank you, everyone. Happy Pride Month.
Thank you so much. It's really awesome all that you do. Let's do a quick picture.
Let's do a quick picture. Okay.
Just jump into the picture. It's okay. You proofread the slide.
That's right. Then we've got to design that.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time we'll move into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak. This period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of the session. If you need to reference the agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Favela, do we have anyone signed up for this public comment?
We do have 2 speakers signed up. The first speaker is Craig Kelly.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to speak to you tonight regarding Resolution 263 and the termination of the county's contract with Somati. Last month, in addressing another resolution that would have stripped more than $400,000 in funding for Somati, I quoted noted experts in the field of substance abuse treatment who spoke to the validity of harm reduction practices as well as noting the drop in overdose deaths in the past year. Those in support of this resolution said it's about missing money that may have been used to buy drugs. While it's possible that some may have been and some not, this only demonstrates the need for them to take corrective actions regarding their financial practices. According to the Daily Freeman last month, they have done so and, quote, implemented new policies around these types of expenditures, and its financial director sent them to the comptroller's office. So where is the justification for this contract to be terminated? I've read and heard the litany as yet, unproven and unsubstantiated allegations that have brought us to the point, which leads me to believe it's really not about the money as much as it is the belief in the validity of such allegations. If they are true, they are indeed troubling, but absent anything to support them, the termination of this contract is, at present, both unnecessary and unwarranted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
The last speaker signed up is Adam Bosch.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me here tonight. I'm Adam Bosch. I'm the president and CEO of Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. Many of you are familiar with us. We run the Center for Housing Solutions in the region. We're the nonprofit planning and research organization for the Hudson Valley. We wrote the housing plans for Ulster County, Columbia County, Rockland County, Westchester County. And we're currently designing the Housing Trust Fund for Sullivan County. I'm also here tonight with a little bit of another hat on, which is I live in Saugerty, so I'm interested in the Resolution 167 to dedicate some revenue toward the Housing Trust Fund that you're all working to start. I want to say that as I go across the region and across the state talking about the unique housing stress that we're under right now and the crisis of housing affordability and availability, I often hold up Ulster County and say, hey, if you want to see a place that's doing it right, and that's being most aggressive in New York State, go check out what they're doing in Ulster County. And what I talk about is I talk about the Ulster County Housing Smart Communities Initiative. I talk about the work that's going to be done at Golden Hill. From Kingston to Olive, they're looking at different kinds of zoning to allow housing for people across the entire spectrum of income, because our stress is not just limited to the lowest of the low incomes right now, but really every income level. And we see that in people's inability to access mortgage, median-earning families. They fall about $160,000 short of accessing mortgage to afford a median house in this county. We now have more homeless families living in hotels in Ulster County than we do in Orange County. I will repeat that. You have more homeless people living in hotels in Ulster than they do in Orange. So the geometry and depth of our housing stress in this county is very, very unique, maybe only comparable to Columbia County in the whole region. So as we are looking towards solutions, this one that's on the table tonight is the most powerful one in your hands. To be able to assign revenue on a regular basis to create a true housing trust fund that fills up as it drains out, sending money out for the rehabilitation of units to prevent loss of units to dilapidation, the construction of new units that are direly needed. This is a really important step to keep the belt of the county that's being most aggressive in New York. I think it's absolutely justified by the data we see, by the housing stress we see, and by the fact that we really need to build and rehabilitate as many units of housing as possible to meet the needs, again, of our neighbors across the entire spectrum of housing. Without this today, make no mistake, you don't have a housing trust fund. You have a grant-making fund that will eventually diminish and go away. Your ability to have a long-lasting, steady impact on the housing needs in this county is contingent upon you making sure that that trust fund has a reliable revenue source. Do the right thing. I promise all across the state and this region, I will back you up by saying that Ulster County continues to be the smartest, most aggressive county in tackling the number one civic issue on the to-do list of anyone who's paying attention to what's going on in the region. So that's my comment. Thanks for taking the time to listen. And anytime you want us to come share our research on housing, you guys know where to find me.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature tonight? Anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature tonight? Seeing none, I'm going to move us on into consent and non-consent agenda. Leader Uchitel, is there anything moving in or out of consent or non-consent?
Yes, I think we need to get this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Could we please remove the podium?
Thank you, Chair Uchitel. thank you, Chair Criswell. It is my duty to pass forward the wishes of every member of our caucus that signed on to designate me as their leader at the beginning of the year until our next organizing meeting. And so I have a request from a member of our caucus to remove every resolution that is currently in consent and place it into non-consent.
Okay. Hearing that, we are going to move on to resolutions.
Resolution tonight is Resolution 167, and that is establishing a policy to dedicate revenue generated from the collection of occupancy tax to Housing, Transportation, and Tourism Initiatives, Department of Finance.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Thank you. I just want to, we've been talking about this for a long time. I really appreciate the support for those that are going to vote in support of this resolution, being able to have a consistent stream of funding for housing and for transportation is really critical. Those are two areas that are really a matter of equity in our community, and I appreciate the votes of everyone who will be supporting this tonight.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote no against this. This is nothing more than, I hate to use the word wealth distribution, but it is. This takes money away from other sectors of the budget, possibly. It takes money away from farmers and truck drivers and housewives and school teachers and puts it in one segment that benefits a few. The other gentleman was up here speaking that we have, I believe the words he used, smartest and most aggressive policy on housing. If you call, spending over $80 million on 164 units, I think that's a colossal waste of money. It could be done much cheaper and better. You know, and the irony of that is I just signed more documents, transferred property over today. So, again, I'm going to be voting no and future resolutions in this
matter. Thank you. Legislator Collins.
I'm going to vote yes on this. We are currently spending over $10 million a year housing people in hotels and motels. Having money dedicated to building houses to get people out of hotels and motels into supportive housing, affordable housing, and middle-class housing will save us money long-term. It's a good investment for our community. It's a good investment for our business community because people that are in housing will actually contribute to our economy as opposed to having to be supported by our economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, the problem is everything we're going to fund is going to turn into a lottery. So we're way over $10 million as well. We were at $5 million just two, three years ago. We're up over $11 million. Contracting with 47 different old motels. I think we're being sued right now. Somebody just lost a leg because of bug bites and how these individuals are living. But we're not going to get any of those individuals out of those hotels because it's going to turn into a lottery. And most of the people are going to be from New York City and Rochester and Syracuse, maybe even other parts of the country if you take enough federal grants, which all these developers are doing. So we're not going to help the population of Ulster County that's living in homeless shelters. We're going to move people in from other areas and probably end up, when you look at the financial and what that does to us, probably puts us in worse shape. I just heard that we're the smartest county in the state what we're doing to attack the housing crisis. But then in the next breath, I heard that Orange County has less homeless than we do. So Orange County's doing something. In fact, we're paying hotels in Orange County to house our homeless right now, and we're busing kids down there and then picking them up for school every day. I have a call tomorrow with a woman who's having a problem with family in Woodstock and an approval that she needs. She's going to be homeless back into the shelter soon. I spend time in the shelters. I helped somebody move the other day. I'm in these flea bag motels. I've asked others to come. We do have a real problem. I am passionate about doing something about it. But when you take into consideration our population in Ulster County over the last 20 years has gone down, we continue to build housing. Come into Saugerties. There's a new apartment complex going up every road. Seriously, we're probably going to build in Saugerties over 500 units over the next year. And plenty has gone in. But what are we doing? Now we're hearing a big article the other day. The city of Kingston is going to start lobbying all these developers to get school tax breaks. So now at $20,000 to $50,000 a pop, we're going to move kids in from other areas, send them to school districts that are already – Saugerties just announced they're cutting sports for 8th and 9th graders. We're firing teachers and teachers' aides. But yet we want to give tax breaks to these developers. And then on top of that, we want to take county tax dollars – that we may not have down the road. This does nothing but sound good because all it's ultimately doing is saying we're going to do something, and this is where we're getting the money. If we have the money to do something that's worthwhile, we'll vote on it and do it. This just does nothing but create, almost like put us on a clock, and that'll be great. When we go, oh, this year we didn't spend that percentage we needed to spend on housing. Where's Richie? Does he have anything going? Does he need a heater? Maybe we could throw it, you know, and that's not the private sector. That's what they do. They're great business people. You ever watch Shark Tank? We're supposed to be the ones that are going, no, I'm not giving you $20 million for 5% of your company. We do the opposite. These developers come to us and we go, that's all you want? What else you want? We're like the opposite of how we're supposed to be handling these sharks. And instead, we come up with things like this so we can go back to our constituents and say, I created this fund. We've done nothing. We've heard nothing about what we're going to do with the money. We've heard nothing about the population. We've heard nothing about the lottery. We've heard nothing about school tax breaks. And are we going to give developers that aren't paying school taxes, move 30, 40 kids into an apartment complex from out of town, send them to the Kingston School District, send them to the Saugerties School District, and then get no school taxes from the group? That is a recipe for disaster. Education is the great equalizer.
We should be boosting our schools to try to help actually down the road that would decrease the housing crisis. We have not heard anything of why we have a housing crisis. By the way, the border comes into play. 10,000 people a day, and we're going to just start building houses for lotteries for housing. It doesn't make any sense. What are we doing? There's articles all over the place about how all these municipalities are failing with filtering their wastewater now. They're over. We just can't sustain. And all we sit here and do, we can solve the problem, no problem. Couple million bucks. We'll give a couple of million bucks a year to a developer, and everything will take care of itself. None of that makes any sense. And I do agree that Ulster County does have a more aggressive approach than other counties, and I truly believe years to come will prove when you look at other counties that were a little more careful, we'll all be moving there or right out of the state like everybody else for the same kinds of approaches. No specifics, no details, throwing money at a problem with no oversight and no plan.
I have Legislator McCullough and then Legislator Harmon.
I'm a yes for this, and anybody that knows me knows that I'm out in the community, so I'm amongst the homeless. I'm speaking to them, talking to them, asking what they need. The one thing I want to emphasize is that it doesn't matter how we feel about something, we should never forget the human side of things. I'm not homeless, but I could be, so I put myself in other people's shoes. Let's do the right thing, get people in housing, and keep them in there. Thank you.
Legislator Harmon.
Thank you, Chair. I am fascinated by the assertion that there will be lotteries. I don't know where that came from, so that's just a curious thing that I think is we should talk about that, or maybe we've talked about it enough already. The cost savings by doing this are real. It is, this will have a fast and profound impact on people's lives. The need is urgent. And also, there's a certain puritanical underlayment to opposition to this idea that I find very, very troubling, because it is based on this idea that there are deserving poor, as opposed to the idea that everyone deserves housing as a human right. So I am an enthusiastic yes, and I'm troubled by much of the pushback that I'm hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney for the second time, and then Legislator Nolan.
To all my colleagues, anybody, call me, text me, meet me at one of these. I wonder if anyone here, because Phil's not here anymore, so I take that bet. Anybody here has not been, I bet this whole legislature combined hasn't been at the number of these shelters that I've been at and haven't been involved intimately with the number of people that I've been involved with. By the way, I called Legislator Roberts the other day. He's helping me. He's lending a truck from his company to help a family move down in Ellenville. Love to see you there. Maybe you can question my motivation a little more then. When it comes to the question on lotteries, we've had this discussion many times.
I'm going to call an order here. Please do not directly chastise other legislators. Thank you.
Actually, I believe I was the one that was chastised.
I'm calling to order.
Chair.
Do not chastise other legislators, period.
I hope you're
please
talking
continue.
To my colleague.
Please
let's
continue.
Play back what was just said.
Please continue
and what
your
was
comments,
more,
sir.
And what was more chastising?
Please
thank
continue
you very
your
much.
Comments, sir.
I will continue. Lotteries. Every developer, the developers over at Golden Hill, every developer that is doing any large projects in this entire state is receiving huge amounts of what's called state tax credits. They're also federal tax credits, but they're all taking the state tax credits. By law, once you accept one of those state tax credits, you cannot just mandate that county residents that you're building there, even if we give them money, it's illegal. Mayor Noble has talked about it. He was trying to ask for some kind of a go-around. The state doesn't grant it. You're getting state tax dollars. It will 100% be a lottery. Any large development built that is getting county funding will most certainly be taking those state tax credits. It will most certainly be a statewide lottery, and all the people we're talking about in Ulster County that have been homeless, many of them for years, have a minute chance of winning that lottery and moving in to one of these places that we want to subsidize.
Legislator Nolan, for the first time.
Thank you. You know, it's important to identify problems, and so I appreciate efforts to identify problems. But I dispute a lot of the claims that I've heard here tonight. I think there are many of us who have visited and who, you know, even work with residents who are seeking housing and have been to shelters. It is, you know, very easy to say there's no oversight, no plans, no nothing, but have no solutions. And what the legislature has been trying to do here is create solutions. It is true that there will be a lottery if there are federal funds involved in the construction of these, or maybe even rehab of these places. I have never seen any data that suggests that it would be a minuscule or minute percentage of Ulster County residents who would end up having a lottery slot given to them. In fact, my understanding is, and I think that the Department of Planning has data on this, that most of the slots go to the people in a county. And to the extent that there are people who come in from our county, people in our county can apply to be in some other housing. But generally, people apply to have a slot in the residential units that become available in their county. So this is just taking a little bit of true information and turning it into a huge problem that, as far as I can tell, there's no data to support. There is also, it's true that there would be, you know, perhaps some pressure to use this money once we have it if we saw good projects, but there's no requirement to use this money. So saying that when we have this money, we'll feel pressured to use it is just looking for the worst possible situation instead of the possible good solution that we're actually seeking here. And I totally disagree with the claim that the origin of the problem of housing in Ulster County is is related to 10,000 immigrants coming into, I guess, the United States or into New York, and that the border comes into play. We have looked for data on this. We have consulted the people who provide housing to homeless in Ulster County, and there is absolutely no data to suggest that immigration has any relationship to our housing difficulties in Ulster County. And it just makes it a biased, racist, protectionist claim that is not related to the issue that we have at hand, which is how do we provide housing for people that are residents of our community. And I'm sorry for the outrage that takes me away from the very important words of Legislator McCullough. We are, I believe, doing the best we can, and apparently to those around us, you know, admirable work on this. And if we're going to be, you know, criticizing our own efforts, I'd like it to be highly fact-based.
Thank you. I'm going to remind us all that we can argue with each other's points, and just remember that this is a house of decorum. Please keep your comments, not personal attacks, but ideological arguments. Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out that you chastised Legislator Maloney for answering something that he felt needed to be done, but yet I heard Legislator Nolan call him a racist, and he said nothing.
I think I just addressed that.
You didn't interrupt her like you did, Joe, and I think you need to be fair on this.
Sir, thank you for that. I think I just addressed it. And I will continue to address it and continue to ask for decorum in our chambers. Thank you. On the resolution. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you, Legislator Walz.
I think there's a consensus probably in the whole body about the housing problem, the cost of housing, and maybe just, you know, disagreement on what's the best use of funds to address it. In a general sense, I think it's more of a private sector issue. It's not just Ulster County. It's the Hudson Valley. It's lots of other places in the country where housing is just becoming unaffordable. But I do think that we all care about it. Whether or not we agree on this particular resolution or not remains to be seen. But in general, there is a problem. I think we care about it, and it's just maybe choosing different avenues to address it.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Legislator Maloney, you're out of time, so if somebody will give you their time.
Just quickly, you know, and I brought this up last year when we talk about the border and migration. I think everybody wants a compassionate approach, but there's got to be a sustainability approach. There's only so much that we can handle. There's only so much we can afford. There's only so much we can do, and it reaches a point where everyone starts hurting, and there's other things we can do. And to be called a racist because I have the nerve to talk about a very real situation. The number one topic in the presidential election, everybody's going to be, or debate that everyone's going to be watching, is probably going to be immigration. And we can all judge how each of those men decides to answer, but we have to talk about it. It's a border. We're a country. We have to talk about it. And just last year, a Red Roof Inn in Dutchess County received a large amount of immigrants, and we had been contracting with them for Ulster County residents. The Ulster County residents were all kicked out and dropped off over at DSS with nowhere to go. There's migrants right now staying at a hotel in Saugerties. It's a real thing. And like I said, we're busing children every 2 to 3 weeks, for years at a time, some of these kids, all around four surrounding counties. We're out of money. We're out of room. We don't, you know, this is a problem. We have to be able to talk about it. And if we can't talk about it without being called a racist, then that's a problem. That's a problem for this legislature, and it's a problem for our country, because it is something that we have to talk about.
Legislator Nolan for the second time.
Yes. To talk about a number of rooms or houses that might not be available because of specific immigrants is the kind of facts that I'm talking about that can help us with a discussion. I did not see, and I think it's very thin, the relationship between the national immigration situation and our housing situation, because when we ask our staff how many of the 300 to 350, sometimes higher, number of people looking for housing are immigrants, it's zero. So my comment was that the linking of this problem of housing in Ulster County to that national problem, that particular action, not a person, but a particular way of framing an issue, is really highly problematic. So if somebody wants to come to this legislature and talk about the national immigration problem, then I think we have to create a forum for that. This resolution, because the number of people we're housing in Ulster County who are immigrants is zero or close to zero on an ongoing, continuing basis, it's just not related. I think that we've heard some attempt to relate it, and so I think we can look at that. I think that to talk about a handful of people in a couple of situations out of hundreds of people over the course of a year is really, again, still trying to, it's asking us to think about this issue when we look at the origin of the housing problem, I think we're looking in entirely the wrong direction. So if we are looking in that direction and we solve that part of the problem, we will still have a huge problem in Ulster County. So I continue to say that we need to look for real solutions, which I think this body has been doing.
Thank you. Legislator Collins for the second time.
Thank you. The issue that we have is we have 450 to 500 people every single night in hotels and motels. That's because there's not enough housing that they can move into, that they can be permanently in that housing. We cannot continue to have people staying in hotels and motels every single night, that many people. People that are staying in motels and hotels, they do not get the chance to do anything other than try to figure out where they're going to be the next night. For economic stability, they need physical stability. They need housing. They need places to live. This is going to create places for them to live permanently and create that economic stability for those individuals. There's no theoretical about this. This is facts. These are people that are in temporary housing that we need to move to permanent housing. Let's not talk about theoretical hypotheticals. Let's talk about reality. People that are struggling and do not have places to live. This will help them get places to live. Thank you.
Thank you. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following no's, legislators Maloney and Gavaris.
We're short no with three yes, Hansen, Corcoran, and Litz.
Thank you. Somebody's adding some holiday levity into the mix here.
We are short yes with two no's, Gavaris and Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 16-6. So,
moving into the list of resolutions, I move that we block resolutions 262, 264, 265, 266, 267, 268. 270, 272, 273, 274, 276, 278, 279, 280, 282, 284, 286, 289, 290, 291, 292, 293, 294, 295, 296, 297, 298, 299, 300, 301, 302, 303, 304, 305, 306, 307, 308, 309, 310, 311, 312, 313, 314, 315, 316, 317, 318, 321, 322, 324, 325, 326, 327, 328, 334, 336, 337, 338, 339, 340, 341, 342, 343, 344, 345, 346, 347, 348, 353, 354, and 355.
And is there a second on the block?
Can you repeat that again real quick?
Is there a second on the block? There is a second. Legislator Nolan, there's a second.
I'd like to ask for a long roll.
And a long roll, please, on the block.
On the action of blocking them.
On the action of blocking them, yes.
On the motion to block the resolutions as listed by the majority leader that I will not repeat the list of, we have it on tape. Clinton,
yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
I'd like to explain my vote. I'm not quite sure what we just did outside of waste a lot of time and effort of this body. All of these were in consensus. They were taken out of consensus, put in non-consensus. We voted on one resolution out of, I don't know, maybe I should count them. One, two,
there's over
three,
100.
Four, over 100. For what reason, I am not sure. Maybe someday somebody will explain it to me. Outside of posturing and wasting the time of the legislature. My vote is yes.
And I would have voted yes on the consent agenda without having to waste a lot of time.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Let me explain my vote, and then I have a quick question. One is every meeting of the legislature main session where we vote literally on hundreds of millions of dollars in spending, sometimes even in a single night, is the pomp and circumstance before the meeting going to take longer than actually voting on all of this spending, all of this money, all of these important policies for our constituents? When I started to watch a lot of these standing committee meetings that I'm not in lately, the speed at which we move through these standing committees, and I know I'm not the only one in the county that feels this way, the lack of debate, the lack of questioning, the lack of due diligence, what we find out later after we've already approved things. Tonight we'll be voting on a resolution for a contract that's already been given out and that's already been performed, and it was kept a secret to us, and now we're supposed to approve that contract. How far are we going to go before we're going to make some attempt to be a real legislative body? I'm fine with blocking all of these, but I do have comments on each and every single one of them. So can someone explain to me how that works once they get blocked? How do I break it out to give my explanation on each vote or my concerns on each vote?
You can comment on the block.
I can comment on the block? These resolutions have nothing to do with each other. Do all attorneys here agree that that is what would happen? I have no ability to comment specifically on any resolution singularly. You're going to combine 4,500 different things?
A block is a common tool that we've used for years, and we will continue to use that tool. If you want to comment on the block, you are absolutely able to comment on the block.
Okay, then can we print out what the block is so I have it in front of me and know what the block is?
The block is the consent agenda.
Yeah, but you've refused to read the numbers.
The
again.
Block is in front of you, Legislator Maloney.
Just last
it is
month,
the consent.
I wasn't given the
Don't
chance.
Interrupt me.
I wasn't
The block is in front of you. It is listed as consent agenda. That is the block. It is there in front of you in black and white.
Are we sure that we've
yes, we
not
sure.
added anything else to it?
The clerk was very attentive to the call that Legislator, Majority Leader, you should tell, read out. We are all clear on what that is. What is your vote, please?
I am a no.
Thank you. Could you continue the roll call?
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes, and my understanding is the reason that we are needing to create this block is because these resolutions were all asked to be removed from the consent agenda by a legislator, and by the rules of the body, we then remove the resolutions as requested. Normally, what happens is that the resolutions that are particularly problematic or need a separate comment are treated in that fashion. So I understand that we are now creating a block to address the desire of this body to work on those resolutions that are particularly problematic for more than one legislator. That is, that the resolutions that have real questions that we should hear our colleagues on, that's what we normally put in the non-consent agenda. So on the basis of these resolutions having the general support of my colleagues, as given to understand coming into this meeting, and by the fact that all of these were agreed to be adopted except by one legislator, I vote yes.
Thank you.
Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I support Legislator Maloney's wish to speak on any individual resolution in front of us tonight, including the ones in this block, but I will be, for expediency, voting to support this. Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Ushatel.
There are a number of ways to discuss resolutions. One is to attend committee meetings, which is, you know, definitely results in more conversation than watching the videos. Another is going to be coming up in a few minutes when we are voting on the block itself, and any legislator can speak about any resolution in the block. If they want to go through the list of resolutions, as I just did, and speak about every single one, they could do that. I'm not sure how we'd handle the time limit if they want to do that. But
that's my question.
I'm answering it in my time to speak. So when we vote on the block, and I will call for a long roll, you will be able, any legislator will be able to speak about any resolution that is included in the block, which coincidentally happens to be the consent agenda, which is in a nice tidy pile on all of our desks right next to each other. And I vote yes in support of the action to block these.
And Walsh.
Yes.
The motion to block is adopted 21-1.
And on the block.
I'd like to call for a long roll.
The question was about time, Majority Leader. How is that going to work?
There is no question about time. Time is very clear that you get your 5 minutes, you get that twice, and then you can call
resolution.
And then you can call on other legislators to give you.
So by blocking, you eliminate my ability to be able to speak on each resolution.
The block is voted on in a way that we all understand in our rules. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You just called for a vote. Are we allowed to speak on the block before we vote on it?
Absolutely.
Or are you going to give us, we're going to have to speak on the block as we vote? Because I'd like to.
It's a long roll.
But we've had debate before a long roll. And if I would rescind my call for a long roll and make the call after debate if it's the will of the minority leader.
If you would like to do that, that's fine.
Is that fine?
All right, so the call for the long roll has been rescinded.
I'll call the long roll.
So now a long roll has been called by legislator.
I'd still like Maloney to speak on the block before I vote.
Legislator Roberts, or Minority Leader Roberts, I will give you privilege of the floor to speak on the block before we do the long roll that was called by Legislator Maloney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at Resolution 262. The Minority Caucus doesn't have a problem with that. I'm going to thumb through to the next one on page number 264, ARPA, and Legislator Lopez and Maloney actually put that together, and that's, we support that 100%. And I can go on and on and on. I'm just being a little here facetious here, but some of these resolutions make a lot of sense and are good. And I think Joe's point is some of them here that we're spending a lot of money on, and they deserve to be recognized what we're spending money on.
Thank you. There's been a call for a long roll.
This vote would be on the block. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
I'm going to speak on it. I'm going to vote yes on the block. The reason that we block these things is everyone in committee voted yes. Everyone here said they're going to vote yes on this. It's not that we don't consider these in deep detail. It's that by the time we get to this meeting, we've considered them in deep detail, and we've agreed that they should be passed. That's what happens, and that's how it works here. Thank you. I'm a yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Which one? And that's in there. So three sevens in this block.
Yes.
But that was supposed to happen before when we had consent agenda. But now that we're making the rules up as we go, I cannot vote on 337 due to employment. I will abstain. As a matter of fact, there were three resolutions that I will be abstaining from, but someone added my name as a sponsor, which is totally inappropriate. I cannot sponsor a resolution that I have to abstain from. So on 337, I will be abstaining.
And the rest of the block, you are a yes. Lopez. Maloney.
So I'll start with 262, and I think the reason you were put on as a sponsor, Herb, is because you're the vice chair. I've often thought that weird that the executive, when they put something in, we just automatically become the sponsors if you're the chair or the vice chair of a committee, and I think there should probably be more of a process, but that might take time and conversation. So let's start with 262. You know, I had put some changes in. Some had to do with what came out of the Charter Commission. There were a lot of conversations. I addressed the Charter Commission, as did four or five members of the Human Rights Commission, about issues that they had with our human rights and the process. One of the main issues I saw that I was hoping to deal with the resolution that I had put in a while ago and didn't get a lot of conversation or support on was taking the all-powerful executive out of it. Because if you're going to have a human rights violation inside the county, most of the time, it's going to be somebody under the umbrella of the executive. So why would you have it structured to have a stranglehold, as the executive have a stranglehold on the Human Rights Commission? They appoint the person in charge. They even appoint, it was the only committee or commission where they get to appoint the chair of the Human Rights Commission. Very little of this will be dealt with. I got to know a young woman who eventually went public a year or two ago, after some horrifying experiences inside our county. She had two children of color. Her coworkers would ask her if they smelled. They made fun of the fact that one child was disabled. The kids didn't look similar enough to some of her coworkers, so rumors were started that it wasn't the same father. This woman was put through hell. And when she went to the Human Rights Commission, her rights were violated by the person appointed by the executive. When four members of the Human Rights Commission came forward publicly about this and other things, they were called liars. Why? Because we have to protect the high-ranking appointee of the executive. So rather than deal with all of that, rather than try to make human rights really human rights, why did it take the power out of it, take the executive control out of it? Make it a true independent commission, not make the head commissioner decide between his or her job and doing the right thing. And that's what ends up happening there. And rather than do something real about it, at the last minute, we put this up so late that I don't even think it could be debated in laws and rules. And the great thing about this is we'll be able to go back to our constituents and say we did something with human rights. But the really great thing is that we haven't done anything. And the all-powerful executive that we worship the ground he or she walks on, it seems, since the beginning of the charter, will stay the all-powerful executive. So cheers to us on 262. Business as usual in the county. 264. Very happy. I think a lot of people remember not too long ago, LeBron James's son had a cardiac incident while he was at USC. Without a defibrillator, he would not be with us, and he's now going to be drafted somewhere in the first or second round coming up. And there's a lot of those stories. And the great thing is if you can get through the moment, you have a full life ahead of you. Craig knows a lot about it, even more than I do, but this is a fun one. Watching one of those meetings, it was said that this was a mandate that's been around for a while. It's not. It's brand new. Brand new. Just went through every youth organization with four children or less, or four teams or more, has to have people trained and these AED units. So we're going to help. I was at a meeting in Saugerties a month or two ago where the board of the soccer league was trying to figure out how they were going to live up to this unfunded mandate. That's when I went and talked to our budget analysts and a couple legislators, and we made this happen. It's a good thing, and we might even find out someday our money saved a life. Let's go. 270, a question. Do we have the name in 270? Question to the chair. Well, that was going to be added. Should we do that now, or is it too late? People have already registered their votes. Kevin, you have the name. Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, I know. We're not in debate mode right now. This is your time. Legislator Maloney, feel free to use it.
Well, the question is, 270 doesn't have a name. Name is it? Is that the name, Legislator Roberts, that you have?
Yes, Legislator Roberts, you can answer that question.
This looks like an appointee that's taken the place of Mike Baden, supervisor's appointment.
Her name, and so is Legislator Green's name. And then there's another one that they didn't have a name for, so
to be determined. The names are in there, and there's one to be determined, is my understanding.
Is it too late to amend on the floor?
Please continue on. It is too late to amend on the floor. Please continue on.
Get counsel's opinion on that? Too late to amend? Is it? Could we have amended tonight at any time? A name, there's a blank name on, I thought we've amended on the floor before.
It says CBD. Correct. Yeah, this can't be amended at
this
juncture.
If it was before votes were cast, would we have been able to do it?
Council is telling me it's too late. Please continue on.
Just leafing through the pages. A couple of things I started noticing.
Legislator Maloney, you've used your first time. So this is at my discretion that I'm giving these blocks of time. I said I would do it, and I am going to continue to do it. So you will get one more block of 5 minutes. After that, you will have to ask somebody else for their time. So please continue on.
Through to 355, and this is something that we've talked about before, and there are certainly legislators in this room that represent districts. I'm one of them that really should be up in arms and wanting to see this. I think it's a three-year sales tax agreement every 3 years. At some point, we're going to have to play hardball with the city of Kingston. There are towns in this county that produce, especially the town of Ulster, produces 10 times the sales tax as the city of Kingston. And these towns that are struggling with property taxes, their schools are suffering. Like Saugerties, we get maybe $500,000 a year back in the sales tax we produce. It's probably very similar to the number, if not maybe even more, than the city of Kingston at this point. The city of Kingston gets $17.5 million. This agreement and what we end up duplicating over and over again goes back 100 years. And at some point, the legislature, the executive, we're going to have to sit down with the city of Kingston and have a hard conversation. This right here kicks in a couple of bucks when we go over a certain amount. There's an agreement in there where we'll send a couple of thousand more to some of these municipalities. Anyone that's been down by the mall lately sees the disrepair of the roads. That's our metropolitan shopping area. It's a huge tourism destination, at least it once was. You can now see how the town of Ulster does not get enough money back from the amount of sales tax they're producing. And if we want that to be a business hub, if we want that to be the shopping hub that it once was, we have to be fairer to the town of Ulster, and we have to distribute some more of that money to these other municipalities. And right now we're not doing it, and this is just a couple of pennies, which isn't good enough. It's just not good enough. Somebody's got to be tough enough with the city of Kingston very soon, or we're going to continue down the same road we continued down for years, and that's not treating these other municipalities fair.
It's right in front of me, sir. We're still in the middle of roll call. You have to vote on roll call, please.
No.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yeah.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolutions are adopted 21-1 with the exception of Resolution 337, which is adopted 20-1 with one abstention, Legislator Litz.
I want to recognize Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify my vote. I'd like to abstain on 345 due to reasons of employment. Otherwise, I'm a yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just give me one second here.
Resolution 345 is 20-1 with one abstention, Legislator Kovacs.
And Legislator Nolan?
I just wanted to clarify that Legislator Litz was removed as a co-sponsor of Resolution 337 in committee.
Yep, it was already done.
All right.
Back to the non-consent agenda. We're on the second resolution, which is 263. And that is exercising Ulster County's termination rights under Article 30 of a contract between the County of Ulster and Samadhi Center, Inc.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right now, Samadhi is not invoicing for any work being done, nor have they been paid since November as per the original contract. This resolution terminates that contract officially. I don't even know if it got extended, but legally. At first, I was told that the extension wasn't there, and then I was told after consultation that it magically appeared that it was legal. But anyway, this terminates the contract, and it allows us to free up money to spend it on other programs, including any that can offer the harm reduction services and get help to the people that need it most. There has been a lot that brought us to this day. I have put several resolutions in, issued a press release about Samadhi, and I know these aren't going to pass at this point. It's more or less the same. But the fact is, every time we put a resolution in, every time we have a vote, more whistleblowers come out, more information comes out about their program and what's going on over there. I'm sure we're going to talk about the missing money. I just can't see how my colleagues would turn a blind eye to $55,000 that was misappropriated. Some of that county money, or we don't know how much of that county money, where we employees gave cash payments to people in distress to buy hotel rooms and tents. And for those of you that are watching online, I did the air quotes over that. So this might be the last hurrah on this Samadhi resolutions, but I hope we could actually get the money that's available to us right now from the drug settlement money of a couple of years, get that on the streets, get that to programs that's going to use it, and get people the help they deserve.
Legislator Maloney for the first time.
Yeah, I sent some emails out to the majority leader a couple months ago trying to get executive sessions set up for whistleblowers to come in and speak. Instead, we invited Samadhi in to speak. There was even data. I got lectured about data while there was email sitting in the majority leader and the chair's email that provided a bunch of information about the $55,000 in missing funds that if anybody watched, it's just very scary to think about giving $55,000 away the way we did and there's quite a possibility that some of those funds, some of our funds, have killed people, even possibly an employee there. Waiting for the sheriff to look into what he needs to look into. It's very troubling that we haven't heard anything about that. There may be a wrongful death there that really needs to be investigated, and haven't seen any action there. But that might just be politics for you. So much politics. After half the legislature just about has come out, I think, a month or two ago with all their concerns, the chair of the legislature decides to show up the very next day, take pictures and do a press conference with the organization. What does that tell the whistleblowers?
Point of order, can
stand
we not have
down.
Specific legislators named and targeted by comments by name and role? Like, that's pretty clear.
Correct. Please stay on point.
Okay. When we're not getting information we need to get, when you're standing by an organization, when we have whistleblowers we're trying to get in and they're not, I don't know how to stay
on
point.
Please get to your We've point.
We've got no cooperation with the comptroller, as far as I understand, going with any of the new information that's been requested. Minutes for meetings, 2023 books. In that meeting we did have, where we brought in the Samadhi organization, we found out that one of our colleagues has a financial relationship that none of us ever knew about. Pretty scary stuff. I don't think anything's been provided to the county about that. Surely, if you have a financial relationship, we should see that financial relationship. We should have some documentation. But we didn't, and that person continued to lobby and lobby and lobby and lobby and lobby for the group while there was a financial relationship. That's troubling. It's troubling, I think, what we're going to find out when we start looking into the rest of the books of Samadhi, but they won't provide them. All we have is whistleblowers and complaints, and it's hard to believe the amount of people I've spoken to, many of which are willing to come speak to others. Some I've connected with some other legislators. And nobody wants, half of you don't even want to look into it anymore. You just want to blindly support. And there's going to be egg on a lot of people's faces. And it will happen before the end of this term. Because there's too much here. There's too many issues. It's more than red flags. And it's really scary. And we're all going to realize how we spent our money and the damage we've done very soon. But until then, we'll miss this by a vote or two. And a couple of you will just keep on meeting up and putting your name to it and doing what you do, and that's fine.
On the resolution. Legislator Collins,
for the first time.
I just want to clear up a couple of facts that have been said here. The money that was missing, the $55,000, that was done in 2022. That was before Samadhi had a contract with the county. None of that money was county money. The comptroller has paused paying Samadhi because of a 2022 audit. The audit was accepted conditionally. It was not a failed audit. It was an accepted conditional audit. The comptroller now has said that she's looking for the 2023 audit, which is being 2023 990 and 2023 audit, which is being prepared. And once that's prepared and is accepted, then she'll start paying Samadhi. And then lastly, the legislator who has a relationship with Samadhi has recused herself on every single resolution regarding Samadhi. She has done what she should be doing.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Sorry, I just want to make a few corrections there that Samadhi did receive money in 2022, and I believe they received it in 2021. I mean, there's been several contracts that are out there that you could look up, just punch in Samadhi under resolutions. Yes, the comptroller flagged it, and I've said this before, and the comptroller doesn't mind it, me saying it, that she sees no path, period, on her releasing money to Samadhi, and she has told me, I'm sure she'll tell anybody else that would ask, that it's going to take a court order for Samadhi to get that money.
Legislator Maloney for the second time.
Can I ask our budget analyst a question to the chair? What a qualified
No, I'm not
is?
Accepting questions to the chair right now.
Can I get a vote of the legislature of whether we're going to override that ruling or not? I'll make a motion. I think we were just told that the audit that we're talking about was basically fine. It was a qualified opinion. I'd like our budget analyst to quickly explain what, as a CPA, what a qualified opinion is.
Second that motion to override you, Mr. Chair.
All in favor?
Well, I'll speak on that.
Yes, on that Majority motion. Leader, you should talk.
I do not think it is appropriate to go through the chair to put staff members on the spot during our legislative session. It's disrespectful to our staff, and there is an entire month of committee meetings where these things can be discussed. All right, and we can ask the staff to come to them. You can email them at any time to put them on the spot as part of some big show to show off some gotcha thing, right? Like, I get that legislators here might want to target other legislators and make us look like we have egg on our face or whatever it is. All right, but don't put our staff into it. You have an entire month you can work with them.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Mr. Chair, again, Mr. Majority Leader, you know I've never put anybody on the spot. I don't know if you're targeting me or not. And the only reason I believe that Legislator Maloney asked the question to Ms. Feaster is that the audit was brought up. I think that's a valid point to follow up and to get the end result.
So right now there is a motion on the floor to override my ruling on that motion.
I'm fairly confident that the Democratic caucus is going to be a short no on overriding with one yes, Legislator Maloney, and one abstention, Legislator Nolan.
Minority Leader Roberts.
I believe we're a short yes, unless I hear something different in the back.
Nobody wants to know what a qualified opinion is.
You're out of order.
The motion is defeated. 14-7 with one abstention.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short no with two abstentions. Sorry, with two yeses, legislators Levine and Maloney, and one abstention, Legislator Nolan, for reasons of volunteer board participation.
Legislator Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're short yes.
The resolution is defeated 9-12 with one abstention.
Thank you. I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to call a short recess. 5 minutes. We've been at this, and we've been actually working hard, and I think we all need just a break. I know I need a five-minute break, so I'm going to call a five-minute recess.
Are you sure you have the number right? I'm not getting any salary, so he's not going to recommend.
Yeah.
No.
They might.
I think we've actually might have written a new sub chapter around money. Parliamentary question.
If you need to know about that
the resolution.
The auditor should have enough information.
Then they would have done it, and he would want them to be disqualified or whatever.
Well, he didn't want to be seen as support.
It's like a bunch of
I mean, you can go back to this, like, three charter. But you saw how that played out, right? In other words, that's how it's supposed to work.
I run a lot of meetings, and there's actually like a lot of scientific data about how long people should be focused in a meeting.
I think in our day and age, it's probably much less.
Could you rouse people? We're back.
Okay, legislators, we are back. We are back.
I'll gavel it.
Thank you. I'll share with the council here, too. Some water? Pardon me?
Okay.
Perfect. Yep. Legislators, could you please take your seats?
Thank you.
Yeah. Out of order, Vice Chair Sperry.
I know what I want. Are we missing
yet?
Who are we missing?
Okay, I call the meeting back into order. Could you please continue with the non-consent resolutions?
Yes. The next resolution is 271. Here we are. 271. Urging the governor of New York to deny the Iroquois pipeline expansion.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes with one abstention. Legislator Nolan for purpose of employment.
Minority Leader Roberts.
We're short no, one yes. Kovacs.
The resolution is adopted. You said, can you say yours again? Just making
we
sure.
Are, the Democratic Caucus is a short yes with one abstention, Legislator Nolan for reasons of employment.
Okay. So that would be 14-7 with one abstention.
Thank you.
Resolution 275 is a bond resolution.
Now it is. There are 10 bond resolutions tonight. This is our first one. Bond Resolution 275, authorizing the county share of UCAT rooftop solar insulation at UCAT bus garage in for the county of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $353,484 and authorizing the issuance of $253,484 bonds of said county to pay a portion of the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guimaras.
Yes.
Green.
An enthusiastic yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls. The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution is 277, another bond authorizing the design and construction of phase 2.2 of upgrades to the electric bus charging infrastructure at the UCAT facility in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $769,557 and authorizing the issuance of same. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran. Criswell?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Guimaras?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Aye.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
Yes.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Walls?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 281, authorizing facilities equipment at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $250,000 and authorizing the issuance of $250,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guimaras.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 283, another bond authorizing technology upgrades at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for said county at a maximum estimated cost of $200,000 and authorizing same. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guimaras.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Aye.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. 285, authorizing the issuance of an additional $1,200,000 bonds to pay part of the cost of the reconstruction of the SUNY Ulster Children's Center in and for the County of Ulster, New York, in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Guevara?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Aye.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
Yes.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Wolf?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 287, authorizing minor critical improvements to facilities at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in Forsyth County at a maximum estimated cost of $500,000 and authorizing the issuance of $500,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Guevara?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Aye.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez? Maloney?
Yes.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Wolf?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 288, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $39,500, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Alfondre Architecture, PC, Department of Economic Development.
On the resolution, Legislator Maloney.
Yes, I'm going to be a no on this. This is confusing to me because we're paying a firm to go onto private property and kind of be some kind of a overseer, project manager of some sort, a fee that I would think the owner of the property would pay, the same owner that has just recently finally paid their school taxes. You're welcome, everybody. Has not paid the $5 million that they owe us. They owe us $5 million, and we're spending money to send somebody in to oversee renovations that they're supposed to be doing. They also haven't provided the receipts that we've been requesting to prove the remediation they've done. We have an entire Department of Public Works, engineers in multiple departments. The idea that if we need to take a look and say, well, you told us you were going to do this, are you going to do it? The idea that we're spending more money, and I just don't – I don't know on a lot of these different projects. I mean, Elizabeth Street was so bad that we just kind of had to go, but now it just sits because we don't want to deal with it. But some of the facts around Golden Hill, certainly Paradise Lane, which we're going to deal with again in a minute, but over at Tech City, I don't know – what it would take for some of my colleagues to start voting no. It's just, we got it. This is good. We need this. It's got to work. We're this far. That's this legislature. That's this legislature. That's every legislature these days, it seems, on every level. But here we go again. More money to a group that hasn't fulfilled their promises from the get-go. And I'll remind everybody, it was supposed to be private sector jobs. Everybody was going to know somebody that works at Tech City, we were told at one press conference. And now we are going to, but they're going to just be our colleagues in the county because we're just moving government jobs over there, most of which already exist. But here we go.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
We're short yes, two no's, Roberts and Lopez. And Madam Clerk, I'd just like to inform you that I'm going to change my vote on 263.
And I want to recognize Legislator Litz.
Yes. It states on the screen there that I am a sponsor of Resolution 288. That is incorrect. I'm not sponsoring that, and I will be abstaining.
We'll get that corrected. Thank you, sir.
To employment.
All right. So let's first do the vote on that. 288 is adopted 18-3 with one abstention. Legislator Litz? Yes. And then Legislator Roberts, you 263, you are changing to a no. Okay. This position is still defeated, but yes. Okay. Okay. Back to 319. 319. You good? Yes. 319. Amending capital project number 607, Government Operations Center, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
We're short yes, one no, Roberts and Litz abstaining.
The resolution is adopted 19-2 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. Resolution 320, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $571,650 entered into by the County Urban Architects, PLLC, Department of Public Works.
Legislator Maloney.
A lot of us may remember a lot the original issues with the 911 center. We were told it was going to be quicker and cheaper, and we had to do this, and we even hired a firm to go out and judge 9 different pieces of property. And then somewhere along the way, we hired this firm, they hired another firm, and they suddenly found this 10th piece of property that they wanted to add to that list that they were going to give us a scoring matrix on, and then we were going to use that score to decide where we were going to build our much-needed 911 center. And by one point, we chose Paradise Lane. A lot of things happened. There were some issues. We got it appraised as if it was pristine, even though it's a certified brownfield with tainted water. We tried to pay more than double what the individual had just bought it for a couple of years before, finding out that it was as bad as the property was. The individual gave tens of thousands of dollars in donations right in the middle of negotiations to our then executive, who in a meeting we found out was the person that they said found this property, our executive, we were told in a meeting. So fast forward, that firm that we'd originally hired to give us this scoring matrix, and by the way, they won by 1 point, and they were given 2 points for environment, not a zero, with a certified brownfield, dirty water, gas tanks, a leaking gas station next door, a mess of a property. Maybe the most blighted property in Ulster County. Was given an average environmental score, which gave them a 1 point lead on Golden Hill. So fast forward to this, we now quietly don't tell a single legislator that I know of, don't even tell, I asked the comptroller wasn't told, we quietly, some might even say secretly, tell this firm recently to go and explore Golden Hill again. Let's make sure that wasn't a better location. We'll pay you more. Then they come to us and say, all right, and they just tell us the other day, oh, actually, we need some money. And part of what they did was they went and looked at Golden Hill to see if Golden Hill would work. Excuse me? You hire the same firm that originally told us Golden Hill was the best place. You don't tell us. You don't ask for the money first. You don't go out to bid. You just hire this firm, tell them you're going to give them money, and don't tell us till now, and now you ask us for the money to pay this firm. I'll tell you what would have happened had they come to the legislature the way they should have, is we probably would have said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. If you think Golden Hill might be a better spot, there's been a lot of chatter about it, but let's hire an independent firm to go look at it. But that's not what happened. We're just giving this firm money to say, yep, we told you the right thing, and we're doing it after the fact. Since when do we approve resolutions and contracts after the fact? And this stuff is going to keep happening. I've been saying it for years until we put our foot down, and they need us to look at Elizabeth Street, look at the capital project messes, look at our budget, look at our finance department. It's a mess. Have we even – I've been told we've closed out the books, and I'm told we're not. We are a mess. We need a legislature that is going to question the executive branch of government. But if we let things like this fly, it's never going to happen, and our county is going to continue to be an absolute mess.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with two noes, Legislator Maloney and Hewitt.
We are short yes, one no, Roberts, and an abstain by Litz.
Two, 18 to 3 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. The next resolution is a bond resolution, Resolution 329, authorizing the issuance of $350,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay the cost of Beaverkill Road embankment stabilization in the town of Hardinburg in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Wolf.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 330, establishing capital project number 697, purchase of county fleet vehicles, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
Legislator Maloney.
Years ago, before the charter, there was far more oversight, far more discussion. Resolutions were separated out for vehicles. You didn't see multi-million dollar resolutions where you approve a litany of vehicles. We got one coming up, highway equipment. There are actual take-home vehicles in there that we call highway equipment. There's no due diligence, no plan. Nobody tells us how many times they get called out in the middle of the night to use the vehicle. Some of the data we've just gotten in our vehicle committee has shown some amazing – one county employee has drive 17,000 miles back and forth to home, was only called out two or three times the entire year of 2023. We have three times the take-home vehicles that Dutchess County has. We get no real information, no data. And what something else we found out in these vehicle committee meetings is there's really no oversight. We have software that we don't use. We don't know where, what people are doing with these vehicles. There's no audits. There's no checks. No answers as for no procedures. We just trust that everyone's using their vehicle correctly and they really need it. And now here we are in the middle of this committee getting these two massive, which is one of the reasons we have this committee put together, because we should not be getting multi-million dollar resolutions put forth with everything from plows and stump grinders to take-home vehicles in the same resolution with no description. We don't even know which employee title is going to be getting the vehicle, and there's just never a plan. There's never any oversight, and it's just millions and millions of dollars, and we just keep on going. And once again, I'm just not sure what the point of our existence is. I don't know what we change. If there was no legislative body whatsoever, I guess there's certain press releases where some of us wouldn't be standing there while the executive speaks. Other than that, as far as like the way we spend money, the things we do, there really wouldn't be much of a difference. And that's on us for not questioning it. I know we're part-time. I know we're lesser. I know we're a body. It's happening. Certainly happens in the state. You've watched the governor become way too powerful. We have an executive that's way too powerful and to her own detriment. It was her predecessor, the same thing. They need questions. They need to answer questions. They need to know when they present something that they're going to be cross-examined. They're going to be questioned on what they're doing, what their plan is. And we don't do that. We celebrate everything they put before us. People are living and dying out there, and we just ignore the things that really matter, celebrate the nonsense, and pat ourselves on the back, feel very good. And I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And this is an example of that. But it'll be a yes.
On the resolution? Oh, I'm sorry. Legislator Stewart.
I just wanted to say that during caucus, I asked Deputy Executive Capuano multiple questions about the vehicles that would be involved here. I was told that there were 23 vehicles altogether. Only two of those vehicles would be take-home vehicles. I believe something like 10 of those vehicles are designated for the Sheriff's Department, and I had expressed to her, our committee, which is chaired by Legislator Maloney, our disappointment in that we have, that the Sheriff's Department has not been as forthcoming as we would like or expect with details about the fleet used in the Sheriff's Office. During discussions in caucus, we were told that some of that might have to do with operations and perhaps the lack of transparency. There's a reason for that. That point aside, as I mentioned earlier, only two of these vehicles would really appear to be take-home vehicles, and we are aware of some of the titles of people who would be receiving these vehicles. It was mentioned that the district attorney actually is now requesting a vehicle. I'm actually going to vote no on this particular resolution, and I've been going back and forth in my own head about how to deal with the situation, but I think it would be better to give the Fleet Review Committee a little more time to get its data collected, and come to some decisions before approving this resolution. So I'm going to be a no on this.
Thank you, sir. On the resolution, I'm sorry, I see Legislator Nolan.
Yes. I just want to say that I think there is a lot of data on most of these vehicles, with the exception of the sheriff's office. They all have GPS devices and can be tracked exactly where they are. So we know exact mileage. We know when they're taken out. So there's quite a bit of data. And I also came to a lot of legislative meetings and participated in county government pre-charter. And I think that the charter was passed because of a desire to have a more efficient government. It is important for us to continue to look at the role of the legislature in a post-charter world.
I want to keep us on track here. We're talking about the county vehicles right now. So.
Fair enough. I think that we should do our oversight within the framework of our existing government into which we were elected.
Thank you. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes with two no's, legislators Stewart and Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The next resolution is the bond resolution authorizing the purchase of county fleet vehicles for the county of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $1,790,000 and authorizing issuance of same. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
No, and I'd like to, another point, this should all be budgeted for. You know, we can foresee these expenses coming, so it should be in our actual budget.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
No.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 332, establishing capital project number 698, purchase of highway equipment, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, I believe we are a short yes.
Short yes.
I was going to be a yes until in our vehicle committee we were told that there was no take-home vehicles in this, and then tonight we were told there was take-home vehicles in it. So once again, back to the
majority leader. Is that a no from?
So I'm, oh, my mic on. It sounds like I'm going to amend our vote and call out all of our votes. We're short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Is it Groundhog Day, sir?
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Next is the bond resolution for that, and it's 333, authorizing the purchase of highway equipment for the Department of Public Works of the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $1,790,000 and authorizing the issuance of same. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Nope.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm going to vote yes on this, and I wanted to explain my vote. During caucus, this again was brought up, and we were told that the take-home vehicles here in question were snow plows, and it seems to me that if someone is required by their job to plow the streets at 4 a.m. on Tuesday or Saturday or whenever it might be, that it would be very helpful if they actually had those vehicles at their home. So that is why I'm voting in favor of this resolution and bond and against the previous one.
You should tell.
Yes.
And Walsh.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Our next resolution is 335, another bond resolution, authorizing the issuance of $375,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York to pay the cost of County Development Court office building security and fire alarm upgrades in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walsh.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution is 349, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services to provide two deputy sheriffs as school resource offices to three BOCES locations.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Uchitel.
Short yes, Mr. Chair.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution 350, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with Kingston City School District to provide a deputy sheriff as a school resource officer.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are short yes with one no, Legislator Uchitel.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. 351, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with the Onteora School District to provide deputy sheriff as school resource officer.
On the resolution?
Short yes, one no, Legislator Uchitel.
The resolution is oops, I already know what you're going to say, but I've
got to
say it.
I've got to wait.
Short
yes.
Shocking.
Thank you, sir.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. And our last resolution is 352, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Rondout Valley School District to provide a deputy sheriff as a school resource officer.
Legislator Maloney.
This is a conversation we've had before, and since we do have a no vote, I just want to explain my yes vote. And whether I go to a fair or the mall, I have four children, and the amount of stress that the love for my children brings my wife and I is intense. It's worth it. But you just don't know what that love and what that stress is until you experience it. I've had dogs, I've had cats, I've had friends, and I'm married, but the love for a child is like nothing that it's hard to even describe. And we live in a world, and we always have lived in a world, that requires people to guard us. That world ain't getting any less needy of that. And there are conversations that happen around what should be happening at schools and what shouldn't be happening at schools and who should be talking to our kids and who shouldn't be talking to our kids. And it just seems all too often that it's people without kids, without children in the school district that decide and want to decide what's best for our children. And I feel much better about my children. Here we are. We have officers guarding us here. Nobody thinks anything of it. And thank God we do. And thank God there's officers in these schools, and these officers end up being guidance counselors and mentors. And the stories that come out of these school districts that I hear from teachers and students about the positive experience they've had with the law enforcement officers that have been placed in these school districts seem to be 100% positive. So I, for one, am appreciative of law enforcement. I'm appreciative of the men and women that come to guard us here and the men and women that lay their lives on the line every day all over the place, including schools, keeping my kids safe and comfortable.
Legislator Walz.
I respect my colleagues. The one colleague here has no vote. But I was the first SRO at the Orange Ulster BOCES campus in Goshen, and the program was so successful that 18 months into it, the superintendent and the BOCES board funded another SRO position. And I think our children are our most valuable asset. They're vulnerable, and especially at campuses like BOCES, where there's some kids that are handicapped and have special needs. There is evil in this world, and sometimes it shows its face in these school attacks. And I think it's the best money spent as far as this SRO program. Thank you.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Thank you. I'm happy to explain my no vote. And certainly don't want to be characterized as not appreciating children. First of all, the experience of children, at least in my district, that have reached out to me is not universally positive regarding SROs. Many of those instances are not SROs that are from our Sheriff's Department, which I think is one of the most highly trained departments in New York, and particularly a leader on SROs. I believe part of that is because we have applied pressure and asked hard questions about how this program works. Every time this comes before us, we ask those questions, and every time the program gets stronger and stronger, I still have concerns about it, but I appreciate that being able to cast my vote against it in the minority, a minority of one on this particular issue, is a way of keeping this issue front and center, because not all students feel safe, and we need to keep having these conversations.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Uchitel.
Short yes, Madam Clerk.
The resolution is adopted 21-1.
We now move on to the public comment.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you. I would like to change my vote on Resolution 263, please. Thank you. I'm a no. Correct.
Okay. Okay. We are moving on to public comment on matters not currently before the legislature. I just want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on issues not before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do. We have one speaker signed up, and that's Joanne Mead.
Joanne, I just want to thank you for your patience through this evening. Please come and talk to us.
I know, I like that too. This has been quite exciting tonight. Good evening. My name is Joanne Mead. I live on Esopus Avenue in Ulster Park. I'm here because of issues regarding the Dinah Noble property and the possibility of contaminated stormwater runoff. About 2 weeks ago, an envelope was dropped on my porch with a letter dated May 17th, 2024, from the riverkeeper to the DEC officials and Diane Freer, the supervisor of Esopus, about work on the Millbrook Stream. I went to the town board meeting on June 5th and asked directly if there's any issues with the stream in Dinah Noble. I was told no. The following day was Friday, and I filed 3 FOILs with the town and 1 with the Kingston School District. That night, I had a town official stop by. Needless to say, that Monday, I posted a letter on Facebook from the riverkeeper, and I asked people to get tested. Needless to say, that started a firestorm on Facebook. The town went online and said I was misrepresenting the facts. I contacted Hinsey's office. It took a bit of time, but on June 18th, the truth finally came out. The town had done unpermitted work on the stream. They basically destroyed the stream. If you saw the stream, you'd be appalled. The cost to the taxpayers at this point is unknown in order for them to even fix the stream. But in the meantime, they also dug into the Superfund site at Dinah Noble. They touched area OU1 and OU2, releasing heavy metals into the stream. We now have elevated levels in the stream, which go past the Robert Graves School. The DEC's hands are not clean in this matter. They failed to properly post signage in the area. The town had lied to me. They have tried to intimidate me to cover up the mess they created. But in the process, it may expose the real issue of contaminated stormwater possibly coming off this property. I'm asking the county to do a full investigation in the matter, and the public really deserves answers to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for your patience.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Is there anybody else who has any public comment on issues not before the legislature this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to call on Legislator Litz to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight's legislative session will be adjourned in memory of the following. Former County Clerk Al Spada, Kingston, New York. Al Spada was an Air Force veteran, started in the County Clerk's office in 1962. Maybe some of you were around then. He was elected to be clerk in 1966 at the age of 34. He was reelected 11 times to serve 39 years as the Ulster County clerk, which is only second to George Clinton with the number of years. He retired in 2005. He was a Republican chairman from 1969 to 1976. Al was a very good friend of our family and my dad. Sorely missed. Former county legislator Al Bruno, who ironically sat right here. Al represented Saugerties as a legislator for one term. Floyd Richard McCormick, town of Rochester. Nicholas Shane Faust, Ellenville. Centurion Vera Paramanavona of Plattekill. John Frederick Rayner, Jr. of Saugerties. Francis E. Bassham, Saugerties. Judith Beckert, Saugerties.
Nigel A. Redmond Perling, Jeremiah O'Connor Sorgates, Kirk F. McCallera Sorgates, Carmela C. Tompkins Sorgates, Antoinette Babb Sorgates, Gail Sherritt Ledwith Sorgates, Henry A. Forboder Sorgates, and Justin Grader of Highland, who was a young gentleman who died way too soon, 41 years old, and worked with his mentor, who unfortunately ran over him and drug him. They both worked for a car dealership and died way too soon.
Does anybody have any other names they'd like to add? Yes, Majority Leader.
I just want to speak a few words in memory of Al Bruno. You know, I worked with him here for 2 years. A lot of that was in COVID, and we were all on Zoom, and I just, he always had a smile. He was always excited for the work, and his dog would always jump up behind him, and I loved that so much at a time when there was so little to be happy about, and he just brought such great energy here, and he really taught me. He was kind of the first person here, because he came in around the same time, that taught me how great it can be to work across the aisle in this space, and how the friendships that you can form across between the caucuses can be really special, and I really appreciate that about him, and he'll be sorely missed.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to recognize Vera Paramanova. I'm probably screwing up that name, even though she's my neighbor. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair. You did write a proclamation celebrating her 100th birthday on May 30th. The joy that it brought her and her family when I brought it to them that day was tremendous. Even though Vera died 8 days later, she was awake, standing, you know, in good health, good spirits. Further, I'd like to add that she was a veteran of the Great War, as they called it in Russia. She was in the siege of Leningrad, stuck in that city for 844 days as the Germans had it surrounded.
All right, now I'd like to call on Legislator Eric Stewart to offer some closing words for our session.
First, I wanted to thank Chair Criswell for asking me to say a few words on this topic this evening. As you all know, and has been made very clear that this evening in earlier portions of our meeting, that June is Pride Month. I recently had the privilege of marching in the New Paltz Pride Parade with a wide range of elected officials, including many members of this body here this evening. Others included our county executive, a state senator, a state assembly member, and a U.S. congressman. And the New Paltz Pride Parade was one of several such events in Ulster County this month. As an openly gay man who has lived in Ulster County for almost 30 years, I must say that I personally have been amazed at the progress that the LGBTQ plus community has made in the last few decades. Coming of age in the 1980s in ultra-conservative West Texas, I never dreamed that being open about my sexuality and who I am as a person would ever be widely accepted, much less celebrated. I went to Baylor University, where being gay was something that was simply not openly discussed. The mantra at the time was, love the sinner, hate the sin. This caused me to question my own faith, and ultimately I left the Baptist Church because of it. I retreated deeper into a closet of shame and self-denial. I went through the motions of dating women,
But ultimately, these relationships fell flat because they were based upon a lie. A lie about who I am as a person. I hid the truth from my family and all but a close friend, but a few close friends. I turned down not one, but two job offers because these potential employers expressed hostility and negative views of gay people. I moved to New York City in 1987, largely because I sought anonymity. And I wanted to liberate myself from the stifling social climate and norms of Texas. When I eventually did come out, my stepfather, the man who raised me since I was 6 years old, cut off all contact with me. I have not spoken to him since. I went into therapy, and basically I lost a decade of my life coming to grips with my own sexuality. And that time clearly could have been much better spent focusing on career and building honest relationships. They say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I believe this largely to be true. After leaving New York City briefly to move to New Mexico, the state in which I was born, I returned to New York in 1994 to be with my now husband. We bought our home in Accord in 1996 and married in 2011 when same-sex marriage became legal in New York State. Thankfully, today, things are much different and far better for members of the LGBTQ plus community. We have come a long way in the fight for equality. At least this is true in most parts of this country. We in this room are blessed to live in New York State and in Ulster County, places that are known for enlightened social policies, legal protections, and open minds. I am pleased to say that my husband, who is a physician here in Kingston, and I have never once faced hostility or weirdness in Ulster County as a gay married couple. In fact, the only time in which I've encountered any anti-gay sentiment here was during an incident last term when an email chain circulated through members of the legislature in which some disparaging comments were made about gays in the legislature. That situation was resolved quickly and appropriately and amicably. This brings to mind how remarkable it is and how privileged and honored I am as a gay man to represent my constituents in elected office. This might not have happened in other states, and this certainly would not have happened 20 or 30 years ago. But despite these great advances in law and public opinion, there is still work to be done. Recently, members of the trans community and drag queens have been singled out and scapegoated for discrimination for nakedly political purposes. And there are still challenges faced by gay men and women of color who must deal with the twin evils of both bigotry, often from within their own communities, as well as racism. In an era in which the Supreme Court has stripped away protections, granting women sovereignty over their own bodies, there are concerns that other personal liberties, including gay marriage, may soon be targeted as well. So this Pride Month, I wish to thank Ulster County for being a welcoming beacon of personal freedom, compassion, understanding, and inclusivity. And I challenge people to vote this fall with these elections in mind and to be on guard against any attempts to further roll back hard-won rights for all people. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Ulster County, a place I proudly and affectionately call home. Good night.
Thank you very much, Legislator Stewart. Thank you. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, July 16th, 2024 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chamber's 6th floor Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second, please. Legislator Harmon. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.